Good morning, church. I must thank Pastor Straley for the opportunity to stand in the pulpit today. When I saw him earlier this week, I said to him that I believe I need to be reintroduced to the church because I've been away for some 3 Sabbaths. So I needed a little reintroduction. But I hope that you remember where I am. Does anybody remember my name? Oh, Brother Tony did. Okay, he does. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Brother Tony. So after all, I may not need any reintroduction. But I'm glad to be here. I left a little earlier than Pastor Straley to Austin, Texas, because I drove all the way and he flew. It was nice driving, especially in Texas, where it was 80 miles per hour. That's the speed limit. 80 miles per hour. And I can assure you, I used up every mile per hour and some. But it was nice going. It was very nice going. And my wife and myself, we had a good time, enjoyed every moment of it. We met some of the members that came from this church. And I'd never seen so many people in one place at the same time. I've been to General Conference before, but this one was big. They said it was some 80,000 people. 80,000. That's a good number. But I have a little job here to do today. I was looking at the bulletin cover. By the way, does anyone remember or knows what my title is? Beware of? Okay, beware of joy stealers. And as I look at the bulletin, I sort of like the bulletin cover. I'm going to read some of what it says. That's a fruit tree. Please stop stealing our fruit. It isn't ripe yet. So it will taste sour like your souls. I didn't do the bulletin. I didn't do the bulletin, but I like it. I like it. Beware of joy stealers. I'm going to invite you now to bow with me as we pray. Father, I just want to thank you again to speak on your behalf, just to remind those who are willing to hear of your love and your goodness and your kindness, and that you're always there for them when things get rough, as you are with them when things are good. May that come through in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, a missing quality in the life of many individuals is joy. Joy. And this occurs in the world. The people out there in the world, they do not find the joy in life that they should experience. And unfortunately, there is that same experience in the church. Because even right this moment, there are some that are looking at me with straight faces. Because the joy that should be in their hearts and in their lives is just missing. So I'm just going to ask you for a moment, just pretend that you're happy. And if you are willing to pretend that you're happy, maybe by the end of the service, you may just be joyful. Who can tell? Your heart may be touched and your life may be changed. Not really by anything that I personally have to say, but the way in which the Holy Spirit will touch your heart as these words are said. Quite often I go and help a pastor friend of mine who speaks Spanish. His church is Hispanic, and I will go and assist him with music to play for evangelistic meetings and so on. There's no translation to English. And I feel as if I am understanding everything that he's saying. So it is today. I may not say it right, but the Holy Spirit will put it right so that what God wants for you to hear, that is what you're going to hear, regardless of what I have to say. So with that in mind, we move on. So we live in a society where many people are desperately consumed with looking for happiness and even pursuing happiness, but they are coming up empty, lacking true joy. You see, beloved, joy is something that we all long for. It is something that we all want, but often it seems difficult to really grab it and to hold it and to keep it. I don't know if it is different with you, but it has been my experience. And of course, I can only preach from my experience. Billy Sunday rightly said, if you have no joy in your religion, there is a leak somewhere in your Christianity. Maybe you should write that down. If there is no joy in your religion, there is a leak somewhere in your Christianity. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, I'm waiting to hear the pages of those iPads and iPhones turning. And those are the phones. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a deep and abiding inner rejoicing which was promised to those who abide in Jesus Christ and those who obey his words. So if I am abiding in Jesus Christ, I should be joyful. When I come to church, I should be smiling because I am experiencing something. Thank you, sister. But if I am not having a relationship with Jesus Christ, I turn up for church just because it is a habit of going to church. It doesn't really mean anything to me. And so I go there with my long face. When service is over, I get up and I go home. But listen to the words of Jesus himself in John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. John chapter, what is that again? John chapter what? 15, verses 15 through 17. That's not it? What did I say first? Okay, that's right. That's the correct one. Good. John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11 tells us, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus is saying that if we keep his commandments, if we do his will, there will be joy in our hearts, just as he has joy in his heart, and that our joy will be full. Not half a joy. Not a quarter joy. Sounds nice. Quarter jar of joy. No. It is what? Who said that? Who was it? Full joy. He says that my joy will be full if I do what he says. In other words, if I keep his commandments. And let us not just think of keeping God's commandment is as long as we can go down the 10 and say, yes, I do, then we are keeping God's commandments. No. It is the spirit of the commandments. Joy does not depend on circumstances. Happiness does. You're happy because conditions are right. But you have joy in your heart whether conditions are right or not. I want that to soak a little. There are many times that we have conflict with others, and that conflict robs us of our joy. But as the topic suggests, do not allow anyone or anything to rob you of your joy. People will do that. Members of the church will do that. The same member that may sit beside you in church will do that if you give them the chance to do it. They will try to steal your joy, to take away the joy from your heart. Once, a preacher was preaching and a gentleman who wasn't too nicely dressed, nor was he smelling too nicely, walked into church, came down front, and he was having a good time. Amen, preacher! Say, preacher! So a very kind deaconess went over to him and said, "We don't behave like that in church." And he turned to her and said, "But I have religion."
I have religion in me and I'm feeling good.
She said, if you have religion in you, you didn't get it here. So just quiet down and behave like the rest of us in church. You know, we have a certain way of behaving in church, not supposed to show that we're happy, that we're joyful, that we're here for worship. We must be controlled. If you say amen, it may just offend someone. Yes, brother, offend them. But when we come to worship, we should show that we're happy because we're happy on the inside. The joy of Jesus Christ abides in our hearts. All right, somebody's getting religion. We're told to be kindly affectionate one to the other with brotherly love. You know, but sometimes we, as Christians, we think too highly of ourselves. Am I preaching to somebody here? Because if I'm not preaching to anybody, I'll just ask Pastor Shirley to come and finish the sermon. Sometimes we think just a little too highly of ourselves. And so we become petty, easily offended. Am I on the right track? Trivial. Both the members of the church and two members of our own family. Petty and trivial and trifle. But beloved, when we exhibit that kind of behavior, we cannot have the joy in our heart that the Lord intended for us to have. We have to put away those petty things. We think of our opinion as more important than the opinion of everybody else. No one's opinion is as important as mine. And if I didn't suggest it, it's not worthwhile listening to. Ever met anyone like that? I must confess. That the church board here is a wonderful group. And that's just a confession. They are a wonderful set of people. I've chaired boards where, I remember, there was a couple that would always give trouble on board, the husband more than the wife. And one board session, the husband was absent. And the wife said, well, my husband isn't here, so I guess I have to do it. It happened. Husband wasn't there to give the trouble, so she will have to do it. Oh, you didn't get it the first time? I thought you got it. But, you know, you were just so sanctimonious that you wouldn't even react to it. Be kind and affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13 tells us, let love be without hypocrisy. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. In other words, we will strive to outdo each other in loving each other and honoring each other. Man, wouldn't this place be such a great place if we begin to outdo each other with love? Man, this church would be packed. It would be packed like the Alamodome in Austin, Texas, in San Antonio, Texas. But although we love each other, we are not quite there yet. And we ought to strive. When we give preference to one another instead of selfishly demanding our own way and our rights, it leads to the satisfaction of inner peace. But when you're always fighting for your right, have you ever met someone who is always fighting for their right? Rights they think they have above everybody else? And they just keep on fighting and fighting and fighting? Oh, you work at some good places. And you live with some good people, very nice people. They never strive because they want their rights. Ellen G. White says, words cannot describe the peace and the joy possessed by him who takes God at his word. Trials do not disturb him. Slights do not vex him. Self is crucified. Day by day, his duties may become more taxing, his temptations stronger, his trials more severe, but he does not falter, for he receives strength equal to his need. That's what the Lord does for us. He gives us strength equal to our need. And so when someone is trying to steal our joy, people say, no, brother, you can't do that. I've got joy wrapped up in my heart. And no one is going to steal it from me. But we're aware that even the best of Christians, Brother Jerome, even the best of Christians sometimes get a little discouraged and have a little hard time. And in our Sabbath school lesson this week, look at Elijah. Man, after Elijah had such a victory on Mount Carmel, and the king, he wasn't afraid of the king. He wasn't afraid of the king. He went to the king face to face, nose to nose. And he said, for 3.5 years, there will be no water, no rain. Then he went back to the king and he said, I challenge you to come on Mount Carmel and we will prove who is the true God. He did all of that. But when the king's wife said, when he went home and told the king all that happened, you know, some men, the only strength they have is what the wife says. How would you know, Brother Tony? The only strength they have is what the wife says. And he went home and he told his wife, the Bible said, he went home, he told his wife all that Elijah had done, and she said, let me tell you something. By this time tomorrow, 12:07, it's time for me to finish? 12:07. One more hour, thank you very much. He said, by this time tomorrow, he will be like one of those 450 prophets that he killed. And Elijah said, bring it on. That's not what he said. He didn't say bring it on. What did he do? What did he do? Man, he ran. He ran until he was out of breath. And God found him sitting under a juniper tree, tired, exhausted, out of breath.
He wished to die. David is another that you would think, oh, David was such a strong man. But David got so discouraged, he wanted to be where there were no problems, no difficulties, no trials. Sometimes that's where we want to be to, where there is nothing at all to bother us. Don't we? But let me tell you, beloved, our circumstances should not alter our joy. It may alter our happiness, but not our joy. Because our joy is wrapped up on the inside with Jesus Christ. We take Job. Oh, Job is a man that had sufferings. But Job said, I wish I were never born. Many of us wouldn't like to say that so that others hear us. Because when we say, I wish I was never born, it sounds as if you're really suffering from something or the other. So I draw these examples just to show you that if sometimes you're a little down on the scale of joy, there's still hope. Others that were stronger than you and lived long before you, they were able to make it through. There's a difference between happiness and joy, and you have heard me allude to that. Sin promises joy, but sin can never deliver joy. Sin delivers happiness for a while. Only. Because true joy is found only in Jesus Christ. There's no other way of getting joy. Because he says, in me, your joy will be full. You can be lost and be happy for a while. Happiness depends upon what happens today. You're sitting in church. You're hearing a sermon. Maybe it's good, I don't know. I'm not listening. And you feel happy. You feel good. But then at the end of the sermon, going out, someone said the wrong thing to you and it changes everything. All the whole sermon is out through the door. There was happiness, but with joy, it abides. If you live for happiness, you are a prisoner of circumstances. When circumstances change, then your happiness is gone with the winds. Is there a movie like that? Gone with the Winds or something? It's a movie? Okay. But Jesus never changed. When circumstances change, your happiness is gone, but Jesus never changed. Happiness is cosmetic. It's on the outside. Joy is character. It is on the inside. Therefore, no one can steal your joy. Don't allow anyone to steal your joy. Because your joy is founded on Jesus Christ himself. Not what just happened this morning or last night or what will happen tomorrow. Happiness meets your surface needs, but joy meets your deepest inner needs.
Hold on to your joy. Happiness is like a thermometer. It registers the conditions. Happiness is like a thermometer. It registers the conditions. Joy is the thermostat that controls the conditions. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Paul is calling us to rejoice in Jesus Christ over and over and over again. Happiness is an emotion, usually directly related to current circumstances. So when the circumstances are good and going in the right direction, there's happiness. Ladies, if your husband treats you good, you're happy. Ladies, if your husband treats you good, you're happy. When he treats you bad, you're not happy. What you need is joy. You need joy in your marriage so that whether he treats you good or not, you know he's there for you. I'm not saying he should treat you bad. But I'm just trying to have you see the difference. When things break, when things get old, when things disappoint, when we do not get what we want, when things go east instead of west, north instead of south, we feel sad and are unhappy. Under those crisis-like circumstances, happiness evaporates like the morning dew. But joy! Joy intensifies in times of crisis. Did we get that? The enemy will tempt you with things that will temporarily give you happiness. But at the same time, those things that brings temporary happiness also causes you to drift away from the Lord. But joy is in the Lord. You know, Jesus wasn't always happy. I hope that's not blasphemy. Got somebody's attention. Jesus was not always happy. Jesus became so angry that he went into the temple and he overthrew tables of money changers and he did all sorts of stuff because he was angry at what was happening in his temple. That's not happiness. You cannot be angry and be happy at the same time. So Jesus wasn't always happy. So if I get angry in the sermon today, I have a right. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. He wasn't happy. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. He wasn't happy. Jesus sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wasn't happy. And of the seven
recorded sayings of Jesus on the cross, not one of them was, "Hey, isn't life good up here?" "Mom, why are you sad? Be happy." It wasn't like that. Jesus was not always happy. And as Christians, we will not always be happy. But Jesus says that we should maintain joy in Him. What we have is the promise of joy. Joy is what God gives us in the midst of trouble. We may use David as a pattern. When things do not go the way you think they should go, you may have a little talk with Jesus, and that will make it right. David would talk with the Lord when he was sad, when he wasn't happy. David would talk with the Lord. We can pour out our hearts to him. And you know what? He will listen to us. There are so many things in this world that makes us unhappy. We open our newspapers, and what do we see in the newspaper? 6-month-old baby rape newspaper, or the television, 6-month-old baby raped, armored carrier heist, mother pour hot coffee on her 18-month-old baby, gang warfare in the city, teacher arrested on child molestation charges, drug abuse in schools on the rise, prisoners escape from police custody, prisoners escape from maximum security prison, and on it goes. How can someone be happy under those conditions? There's always news to disturb us. There's always news that would affect our joy. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 20 tells us, "And we know that in all things God works for good to those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Therefore, whatever happens, whatever experience that we may be going through, God, we know, will work it out for us. He has been doing that. Joblessness. Months without a job. He's finally going to work it out for you. Maybe you're confused, you're angry, you're discouraged. Maybe things were going in the right direction and all of a sudden your joy seemed to be gone. There are a host of situations that you can allow to rob you of your joy. It can and may come in the form of the loss of loved ones, the loss of a job, the breakup of a relationship, relationship problems at home, at work, at school. And the list goes on and on. But I tell you, beloved, that we can have peace in Jesus Christ and joy in our hearts, because that is what He is giving to us. I like this. Worrying is the ability to find something wrong with everything, even when there's nothing wrong. And some people are so good at that. They'll find a problem in heaven. They will find out everything that is going wrong with this church, and they have nothing to offer to make it right. They will not hold a position. They will not help with anything at all. And they know everything that is wrong with this church, both the Norwalk Church and the Seventh Adventist Church. Ask for a work bee day. They would prefer to leave to Mexico than to come to a work bee or to go to Canada, whichever. As long as they're not here, they're happy. Worry is a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. Potential problems. They don't even wait until the problem is here before they begin to worry. They worry ahead of time for the problems. But beloved, you may be robbing yourself of your personal joy if you feel any anxiety, perturbation, distress, concern, uneasiness, disquiet, fretfulness, restlessness, nervousness, agitation, edginess, tension, stress. All of these, if you are experiencing all of these or any of these, you are robbing yourself of your joy. You're not even allowing somebody else to do it. You're doing it yourself, robbing yourself. Beloved, we deserve better than that, to be robbed of our joy in Jesus Christ. When you're overly critical of others, you're always finding something to be anxious or disappointed about, you are robbing yourself of your joy. It's not worth it. Beloved, it's not worth it. Ellen G. White says, those who are quick to censor others, who speak words that cut and bruise the already wounded, are doing Satan's work and are laborers with the prince of darkness. Some people just love to criticize others in the church. They just like to criticize everything. Ellen G. White says, when you do that, you are working on the side of the devil. Do they say devil in this church? It's okay. Is it okay to say devil in Norwalk Church? Working with the devil himself. If you want to check and adjust your attitude, you need to remember that if you're always fighting for your rights, you will be at war with everyone, every person in your life. When things are going well, it's easy to be elated. But when hardships come, or when fortunes goes off on a side street, we sink into our lowest lows. True joy transcends the rolling waves of circumstances. Don't fret, don't worry, be happy. When we are in a storm, it may be by God's appointment. If it is by His appointment, or whether or not He's going to be there for you. It may be because of bad decision. Some people just make bad decisions and will say that the devil put them in this. They put themselves into it. Sometimes we do things that the devil didn't even tempt us to do. Sometimes the devil didn't even think about it yet. And then we blame him for what we do. It may be the enemy's plan. It may be just that we are living in a broken world. Did you see that fire on 15 yesterday? Whose plan is it? Is it God's plan or the devil's plan?
You should write this down. If you have a pen, please write this down. Get your pens ready. Sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes God calms the storm. Other times, God calms his child. Once there was a couple who went to the doctor. They were having a little problem remembering things. So they went to the doctor and said, "Doctor, you know, we are not remembering things as we used to." He said, "Oh, for your age, that's quite normal. All you have to do is to write things down." So they went home that evening. They were sitting together watching TV. The husband got up to go to the kitchen to get something, I think some ice cream. And when he got up to go to get the ice cream, the wife said, "Bring some for me too." I said, "Okay." She said, "Don't you think you should write it down?" He said, "Oh, I can remember that ice cream." She said, "Put a cherry on top, please." "So, okay. Don't you think you should write it down?" "Oh, I can remember that." Went in the kitchen, stayed a little long, came back with a toast. And she looked at the toast and she asked him, "Where is the bacon and eggs?" So, did you all write that down? I'm going to be finished soon, believe me. You should not be satisfied with just some joy. Get the whole thing. What did I say? What did I say before that? I'm hearing so many voices.
Am I hearing the voices in my head or in my ear?
Don't be satisfied with some joy. Get the whole thing. Joy is a matter of attitude. So, things around you will change from time to time. Let it just affect your happiness. Don't let it affect your joy. I think I'm getting too long here. But you don't think so anyway, so I'll go on. I want to close with this verse. I think it is Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. "Weeping may endure." Anybody can finish that? "Weeping, but what comes in the morning? Joy comes in the morning." Have you ever had problems and difficulties, and then there is a daybreak for all those trials and difficulties and problems? They all go away, and the sun rises in your heart and in your life, and things begin to change. "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Joy, the morning is a time when all nature is fresh and gay, when we rise cheerful from our rest, when darkness is removed, when light breaks forth, the sun rises and sheds its beam. Everything looks pleasant and delightful. Moreover, the mercies of God are new every morning, which causes joy and cause for thankfulness. Especially a time of joy after weeping and darkness. "Weeping may endure for a..." "Weeping may endure for a..." "But what comes in the morning?" Oh, Father, we thank you today that you are willing to give us the joy that comes in the morning. after our night of darkness and sadness and tribulation and trials and difficulties and all the things that would tend to steal our joy, we thank you, Lord, that there will be a morning and a sunrise. Oh, Father, we pray that everyone within the hearing of my voice today, that you give them that joy that passeth all understanding. Lord, when you have given us that joy, whether happiness comes with it or not, may we serve you with all our might. In Jesus' name, amen.